Hello, I'm Mark Scurria. Thanks for downloading this podcast and for your support of The Best Life. I want you to know that we're praying for you and believing God's best for you. If you'd like more equipping messages, visit thebestlife.com.au.
Straight into the word. Joshua chapter 5 verse 1. The scene is this. The 40 years of wandering through the wilderness for the people of Israel has come to an end. They've reached the Jordan River and Joshua is carrying the mantle of leading the people into their promised land. The Israelites have come to the Jordan River, but to get into their promised land, they have to cross over that river. And as they look out over the river and into their promised land, they can see that it was everything God promised them it would be. But the problem was that there was a raging river between them and their promise. But Joshua was not about to let the people of Israel settle on the riverbank, never entering into their promised land. He was not about to let the people just settle for a glimpse of what God had called them to habitate. So the priests of Israel, who are armed with the presence of God and armed with a word from God, take a step into the water. And the moment they do, a miracle happens and the waters part, allowing the Israelites to cross over a dry riverbed and into their promised land. Now let's not forget about who we're talking about. These are the people of the covenant of God. These are the Israelites. God had made a covenant with Abraham, a promise, if you like. It was a covenant to bless and to multiply. And years later, after that promise was made, they find themselves as slaves to the people of Egypt. They're not a free people. They're not a blessed people. They're not a multiplying people. They are slaves. Yet God has selected these people. God has chosen these people. For generations, the Israelites were people of promise. Before they became slaves, they were people who lived marked as people of a promise from God. But as slaves in Egypt, their life did not resemble that promise. And there are many people here today, and God has given you a promise. He's given you a dream, placed a desire in your heart. But for situations and circumstances that have happened in life, your life does not resemble that which God has promised you. Perhaps you've been called to business, but you're facing bankruptcy. Perhaps you've been given a promise that God will give you a husband, yet you've just ended another relationship. Perhaps you've been given the promise that you'll have a child, but the doctors have told you it's just impossible. But God has given you a promise. He's laid a desire on your heart. Now, I want to tell you tonight that no matter what stage of life you're in right now, whether you're wandering through the wilderness trying to find your way, or whether you've reached your promised land and it's now in sight, you have been called by God. You have been chosen by God. You've been selected by God, set apart for a plan and a purpose that God Almighty has for your life. You're not here by mistake. It's not an incident or a coincidence. It's not an accident. God Almighty has a divine plan and purpose for your life. Your life might not resemble the promise that God gave you, that dream that He placed in your heart, but you need to remember that God Almighty has called you. He has chosen you. Before you were born, God already earmarked you for success. The Bible tells me in Galatians chapter 4, verse 5, that God has adopted you. That means He chose you. He just didn't learn to accommodate you. You just didn't grow on God. No, no. He hunted you down. He sought you out and selected you. There is a mandate upon your life. There's a mandate upon your life. When troubles and situations and circumstances happened in life that caused you to think that I'm never going to get through, God never, ever thought that you wouldn't make it because He chose you. He selected you. He predestined you for purpose. You are here by the divine appointment of God Almighty. I want to tell you tonight, it doesn't matter what circumstance you might be facing. It doesn't matter what background you've come from. You, my friend, are chosen by God Almighty. No weapon formed against you shall prosper because God has destined you to succeed in life. You need to know that when you're facing hardship, no weapon formed against me will prosper. I have been destined by God to move forward and succeed in life. You were born to win, born to succeed, born to overcome, born to conquer, born to be a blessing to those people around you. Friend, you have been born for greatness. And so we have the Israelites, after 40 years of wandering through the wilderness, have now crossed over the Jordan River and into their promised land. The problem was, it was not an empty land. It was a land that was occupied by enemy nations. And each one of them had to be defeated in order for them to cross over and occupy or take over their promised land. I'm just going to grab the other microphone if that's okay, because I'm getting a lot of feedback. So there's seven enemy nations that they have to overcome in order for them to occupy or to take over their promised land. And now that they've crossed over, it is up to them to take over. Last time I preached, I did so on the topic of crossing over. Tonight it's part two, taking over. And in Joshua chapter 5, verse 1, we read that when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings who lived along the Mediterranean coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan River so the people of Israel could cross, they lost heart and were paralyzed with fear because of them. At that time, the Lord told Joshua, "Make flint knives and circumcise this second generation of Israelites." So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the entire male population of Israel. So verse 4, Joshua had to circumcise them because all the men who were old enough to fight in battle when they left Egypt had died in the wilderness. So verse 7 now. So Joshua circumcised their sons, those who had grown up to take their father's places, for they had not been circumcised on the way to the promised land. After the males had been circumcised, they rested in the camp until they were healed. Then in verse 9, the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away the shame of your slavery in Egypt." So that place has been called Gilgal to this day. While the Israelites were camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, they celebrated Passover on the evening of the 14th day of the first month. Friends, it's one thing to cross over to your promised land from the problems of life into that thing that God has promised you, but it's another thing to warfare against the enemy and take over your promised land. Here we have the people of Israel, the people of God's promise. And finally, after 40 long years of wandering through the desert, they've reached their promised land. Can you just imagine that feeling? After 40 long years, maybe there's something in your life that you've been waiting for and anticipating, believing God for. Could you imagine if you've been longing for a husband the day that you walk down the aisle? If you've been longing for a child the day that you hold your child in your arm? If you've been longing for that certain career the day you walk into that office or into that place of employment? That feeling is going to be just an awesome feeling of satisfaction, of knowing that God Almighty has delivered on what He promised you. And here we have the people of Israel who've now entered into their promised land. And I can only imagine that there was just one thing that they wanted to do, and that was take full possession of what was theirs. You see, the Israelites are in a situation where the enemy is occupying their promised land. And the only way for them to rule and reign in that land is for them to remove the enemy. And you need to know tonight, if there is an enemy in your life, an enemy in your promised land, you need to get rid of him so that you can rule and reign and be victorious in life.
As long as there is an enemy in your promised land, you will never receive all that God has for you. Friend, if there is an enemy in your land, there needs to be a takeover. Perhaps you need to take over lethargy. You need to take over tiredness and laziness. You need to take over lying and cheating. You need to take over whatever that thing is that is preventing you from entering and occupying your promised land. The Israelites had to take over the occupancy of their promised land. But before they did so, God gave Joshua some very specific instructions. He said to them, "You must circumcise the sons of Israel." You see, the act of circumcision was the thing that identified them. It was the thing that marked them as people who belonged to God. It was their badge of freedom or their badge of promise. It was the thing that said, you're different. You're not the same as everybody else. You might look the same. You might appear to be the same. You might walk the same. But you are, in fact, different to everybody else. You are a person of promise. And so it was early on, before they became slaves to Egypt, when they lived as circumcised people, they were identified as people of the promise. You know, history tells us that while they were slaves in Egypt, the Israelites were not able to circumcise, because to the Egyptians, circumcision was a mark of the ruling class. So for over 400 years, while they were slaves in Egypt, the Israelites, God's people of promise, the people that God promised to bless, the people he promised to multiply, were not marked as the ruling class, but as slaves to Egypt. Friend, if the world has marked you as something or someone you were not, you need to know tonight, God has marked you as someone who has been chosen for a purpose and a destiny. And so for generations and generations, the people of promise were slaves in Egypt. Every single day, they would have got up and they would have been marked as slaves. They would have worked as slaves. They would have been told by the world, by Egypt, you're nothing but a slave. When all along, God has marked them for greatness. You see, it does something to the psyche of an individual when you are labeled as something or someone that you are not. Always told, you're no good, you're a loser, you're a liar, you're a cheat, you're a gambler, you're never going to be any good. You'll grow up and you'll be nothing. You'll contribute nothing to society. You'll die before you're any good to someone. Told you're a drug addict. Labeled, you are just a filthy, dirty drug addict. You're a prostitute. You're a sleaze. You're cheap and nasty. You're a pathetic, low-life loser. You're a homeless person and you're never going to amount to anything. You're no good. Friend, can I tell you tonight, God has marked you for greatness. Is it any wonder we have a generation of people who don't know how to succeed in the battles of life because they've never been told who they really are? Beethoven's music teacher told him, as a composer, you're hopeless. Walt Disney was fired by a newspaper editor because he was told he had no creative ability. Thomas Edison was told that his ideas were not worthy of scientific men. Woolworth, at the age of 21, got his first job and was told he couldn't wait on customers because he had no sense. People who changed the world but were marked by the world as failures. And so God's people have crossed over to the promised land. But before they can take over this land, before they can rule and reign in their promised land that God has for them, he calls them to remove the flesh that has marked them as something they are not. They had spent 40 long years in captivity and had forgotten who they really were. 40 years of wandering through the wilderness after being held captive for centuries had brought about one of the most dangerous, one of the most life-threatening occurrences that can happen to any individual today. These people were accustomed to crisis, but this was unlike any other crisis that they had ever faced before. When they had a crisis of food, they'd just call on the name of the Lord and God would provide manna from heaven. No water, and they'd strike a rock and water would flow out. No direction and no heat, God would send a pillar of fire and he'd direct and keep them warm. But this was unlike any other crisis they had ever experienced before. Their other crises were resolved quickly and easily by just getting something to them. But this was an identity crisis. An identity crisis is the most dangerous crisis that any individual could ever suffer. Because when you have an identity crisis, you don't know who you are. You don't know what you believe, and you don't know what is truth. And when you don't know what is truth, and you act a certain way, the world will describe you by your actions, and they will label you in a certain way because of your actions, and you will believe that as truth because you don't know who you really are. Friend, there's a mandate upon your life. The Israelites were about to make an attack on the enemy, and they were about to do so with the mindset of a slave. Not as God's chosen people, not as people of promise. But you see, you cannot have victory over the enemy in your life if your identity is in crisis, because you'll always be fighting from a position of weakness rather than a position of strength, knowing who you are and who you've been called to be. You see, if you don't know that you were born to be a conqueror, you'll never conquer. If you don't know that you were born to be an overcomer, you'll never overcome. If you don't know that you were born to succeed, you'll never succeed. If you don't know that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you won't live a righteous life. So before they go into battle, God instructs them to circumcise, to remind them of who they really are. People who've been sealed with a promise. You see, if you want to take over that thing that has been promised to you, before you do, you have to know, it is essential that you know who you are. In the midst of a battle, a person who doesn't know who they are will find themselves questioning if what others say about me is true. You see, if you go into battle and don't know who you are, if you hit hard times and don't know where God has called you to be, at the moment the going gets tough, you'll begin to think, maybe the doctor's right. Maybe this is not going to happen. Maybe what people say about me is true. Maybe I am no good. Maybe because of my lack of education, I will never be able to have a good business. Maybe because of my past, I will never be that person that I really thought God had planned me to be. And you'll give up and you'll settle for a life and for an identity that you were never destined to have. The Israelites worked as slaves for over 400 years, but that did not make them slaves. It did not negate the call and the promise of God on their life. The call and the promise that said they were set apart for a divine plan and purpose, that they were called to be a blessed nation. Friend, I've come to tell you tonight, it might look like it because of your circumstance right now. It might sound like it. The world might be declaring it over your life. But the truth of the matter is this. You are not who they say you are. Just because you prostituted doesn't make you a prostitute. Just because you took drugs doesn't make you a drug addict. Just because you gambled doesn't make you a gambler. Just because you cheated doesn't make you a cheat. You are chosen by God Almighty. You are not who they say you are. You need to know who you are in Christ. I'm telling you, because when the going gets tough, they're going to call you names. They're going to label you. They're going to put you down and put you in a box. But if you don't know who you are, you'll never get out of that label, out of that box. But when you know who you are, you can rise up and declare, I might have done the wrong thing, but I thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses and washes me clean. I am not who they say I am. You are not a drug addict. You are a child of the Most High God, planned and purposed, predestined by God Almighty, earmarked for greatness, earmarked for success. Do you know who you are in Christ tonight? Do you know the identity He's given you? You can give God some praise because He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. Marked by God. Marked by God. You are not who they say you are. You are not who they say you are. Do you know who you are tonight? Do you know who you've been called to be? The person that God has made you to be? Do you know the promise that He's implanted in your life? Friend, you are unique. You are one of a kind. You're a child of the Most High God. You're born to win, born to succeed, born to overcome. You are destined to be more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. You are the righteousness of God. You're the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Do you know who you are tonight? Identity is crucial if you want to have success in the midst of a battle. To take over the promise in your life, you must know who you are in Christ. And when you know who you are, you will let go of the things you are not. When you know who you are, you'll let go of the things you are not. When you know that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you'll let go of the gambling that says you're not. When you know that you are loved and accepted, you'll let go of the prostitution that says you are not. When you know that God has the very best for you, you'll let go of the second best that says He does not. You see, you cannot take the old man into your promised land. You have to cut away the things of the past. When you let go of the past and receive Jesus Christ and allow Him to totally affect every part of your life, you will never, ever be the same again. 2 Corinthians 5 tells me that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. The problem is that many people who have let go of the old life, they've embraced God and all that He has for them. They're living a Christ-centered life. Everyone around them has witnessed the change in their life. They've entered into their promised land, but deep down, in the secrets of their mind, they are still a slave to sin. And so you're living the new life, but deep down, you're carrying guilt. You're carrying shame. You're carrying condemnation and blame because of the things that you did in your past. Could it be that the Israelites wandered through the desert for so long and many of them idolized going back to being a slave in Egypt when tough times came because in their mind they were still slaves? They looked like free people. They walked as free people. But you see, it's not until you squeeze a person. It's not until a person goes through a tough time that you find out what's really on the inside. And often when they hit a hard time in the desert, many of them cried, "Let's go back to Egypt, back to being a slave." Friend, you need to know who you are in Christ. You need to let go of the past so that when tough times come, you won't cry out, "Take me back to the pain of the past," but you'll stand steadfast and want to keep moving forward into the things that God has for you. Don't let the difficulties of life cause you to go back to a life of slavery, but rather pursue a life of victory in Jesus Christ. And once the Israelites had removed the mark of slavery that God told them to, verse 9 tells us that God says, "Today I have rolled away the shame of your slavery." Today I have rolled away the shame of your slavery. Friend, you are a new creation. God has rolled away the shame of your past. The guilt you've been carrying, the shame you've been carrying, the condemnation that has plagued and bugged you. It is time to let it go. Friend, let it go, because God Almighty has rolled them away. He doesn't look at you and see someone with a past. He looks at you and sees someone who is. Someone who is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In Isaiah 43, verse 25, God says, I alone will blot out your sins for my own sake and will never think of them again. He says, I alone will blot out for my own sake your sins, and I will never, never think of them again. God is not thinking about your past. God is not thinking about how he needs to punish you for the sins of your past. Because God is not thinking about anything that you did in your past. Your sins have been forgotten about. They're not even registering in the memory bank. He says it's for his sake that he chooses to wipe out, blot out, not just cover up, but remove altogether the sins of your life. The problem is we keep thinking about something that God has totally forgotten. We're thinking about things that God has totally forgotten. And as a result, we approach God from the position, the mentality of a slave rather than of a child of God, the person he's created us to be, the person that he's positioned us to be. And so we start the cycle once again, the cycle that says, I'm just a slave, I'm just a slave. Friend, you have not been branded a sinner. You have been branded a saint, a child of the Most High God. This is not about you. This is about him, and it is for his own sake, not your sake, his sake, that he wiped your past and refuses to think about it anymore. Now it's time you did the same. If you've been thinking about your past, the things that you've done wrong, if you've been plagued by guilt, you need to know tonight, God has totally forgotten it. Don't be in shame anymore. God has totally forgotten it. Is it any wonder that the very next thing that the Israelites did was to celebrate Passover? To remind them that the inheritance that God has for them would be a simple act of faith in the blood of the Lamb. They were a free people because of the blood of the Lamb. There is only one thing that permits us to be people of the promise rather than people of the punishment. It's the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who takes away the sins of the world. We don't need to circumcise anymore because God's sacrifice on the cross has accomplished it for us. We've been sealed with the Holy Ghost. You cannot forget the blood of the Lamb. You see, without the blood of the Lamb, we cannot come to him, repent of our sin, receive that seal of the Holy Ghost, and receive the new identity that he has for us. We cannot take over our promised land if we don't do so knowing what Jesus Christ has done for us. Knowing that the battle has been won, we need to now receive what he's already done. You cannot forget that it's because of Jesus Christ who made a way where there is no way. You cannot forget where you're going or where God is going to take you without acknowledging the blood of Jesus Christ. He has made a way for you where there is no way. He's made a way for you to enter your promised land and take over the things that are occupying your promised land. All we need to do now is receive what He has done for us. There is nothing that stands in your way.
I hope you enjoyed that message. You know, living the best life begins by making Jesus your Lord. Let's pray together. Lord God, today I turn from my past. I make Jesus my Savior and Lord, and receive a brand new start. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, now is your opportunity to begin living the best life. We'd love to hear from you so that we can help you on your journey. Email us at info@thebestlife.com.au.